Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Scores of people have fallen ill after swimming in Spring Lake in Burrillville on the 4th of July, and health officials have yet to identify the cause of their illness. Results from bacteria testing were inconclusive yesterday, but the Department of Health says it is running further tests. So far, 85 people have gotten sick and 9 had to be admitted to the hospital. Spring Lake Beach remains closed, and health officials are urging anyone who swam there and is now experiencing stomach problems to see a doctor. Work being done along the railroad tracks will disrupt train service in Rhode Island starting on Friday. Rhode Island Public Radio's Catherine Welch reports.
Amtrak is spending the summer replacing old railroad ties along the Northeast Corridor. This replacement work is coming to the MBTA's line in Rhode Island, and starting Friday, it will affect 6 lines delivering passengers to Wickford Junction. This includes trains that will stop at Wickford, but not at TF Green Airport, or trains that will end at the airport and not continue on to Wickford. The disruptions will only be on Fridays, starting this week, and will end on Friday, August 9th. Meanwhile, the MBTA says railroad tie replacement work is also affecting trains on the Providence line into Boston between Back Bay and Forest Hills. Catherine Welch, Rhode Island Public Radio.
A list of the changes is at our website, ripr.org. A Rhode Island hospital neurologist says there's evidence that early aggressive treatment can help the unlucky few who catch eastern equine encephalitis each year in the United States. Neurologist Dr. Linda Wendell has published an account of the hospital's successful treatment of a young man with triple E.
He's doing remarkably well. He only has mild memory difficulties, and he's essentially been able to return to his everyday activities, including returning to signing up for college courses.
The mosquito-borne disease causes brain swelling, seizures, and can be fatal up to 50% of the time. Only 5 to 10 people contract it each year, but those who do have serious brain damage often as a result. So far, Rhode Island officials have not detected triple E in mosquitoes tested here, but testing will continue throughout the season. And a biology professor at the University of Rhode Island is conducting an inventory of the types of seaweed that grows in Rhode Island ocean waters. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the idea is to create a database so future scientists can determine how the seaweed population is changing.
Seaweed may be an annoyance, but it offers vital clues into the health of an ocean. That's why University of Rhode Island biology professor Christopher Lane has embarked on a study of the slimy stuff with an eye towards learning how many species of seaweed exist in Rhode Island and which are the most invasive. The idea is not to get rid of the stuff, says Lane, but to compile a database of the types of seaweeds found in Rhode Island so that future scientists can make judgments about the health of the ocean.
The idea is to set up a baseline inventory so that we have DNA sequence from all of the seaweeds in Rhode Island that we can compare to in the future to make accurate species descriptions. We also want to have an archive of actual physical samples that they're linked to and make that an online database that people can access.
Lane says he's especially concerned about the recent arrival of a red feather-like seaweed native to Japan. It's growing rampant in Rhode Island and is not eaten by New England fish. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
The author H.P. Lovecraft wrote, "But more wonderful than the lore of old men and the lore of books is the secret lore of the ocean." Such is the case in this story. It starts on June 13th, when Chuck Ebersol had a really unusual day. He's a steward at the Wickford Yacht Club.
Okay, Peter, I'm going to need your stern line here real quick, too.
He spends his day helping skippers moor their boats to the dock.
I'm going to make that one.
It was on a day like this one, quiet and calm, that he noticed the water suddenly change. The current picked up, and water rushed out of the harbor. Then he heard a pop. Pops are never good.
Oh, it sounded like a little bit like a board ripping. Just push.
The current had ripped a cleat from the dock. It was one of two mooring a sailboat, leaving it dangling on one line. Ebersol and others raced in and secured the boat. And then something unexpected happened. The water that was rushing out started to rush back in.
I've never seen anything like this.
Word of the ocean acting strangely quickly reached North Kingstown Harbormaster Ed Hughes. He and others abandoned a Harbor Commission meeting to see what was happening at the yacht club.
I got down there pretty much towards the end of it, but I could see where the boats were still being pulled, like with a lot of pressure being pulled from where they were.
He says the water went in and out an 8 to 9 knot clip.
That's a lot. That's a lot of water rushing by. I mean, for it to take a rope and a cleat off a dock, which is amazing amount of pressure, and it just popped it off like it wasn't even there.
Hughes, Ebersol, and others watched the water oscillate in the harbor for the next 45 minutes or so.
It was just so unique to see it. I mean, we was five of us just shaking our head going, this is different.
News of the curious occurrence at Wickford Harbor made its way to scientists at the University of Rhode Island's Graduate School of Oceanography. Professor of Geophysical Fluid Dynamics, Chris Kincaid, says they quickly pulled up data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It has instruments that measure tide, wind, and current changes all along the East Coast. Sure enough, the gauges from North Carolina to Maine showed an anomaly.
And right about at low tide on this day, on June 13th, you can see what the water level just drops right off the table.
Kincaid says the drop and the corresponding rise in water level was tsunami-like. But fellow geologists looked at the seismic records, nothing. So Kincaid says a peer who studies atmospheric and ocean interaction pulled up the weather data for the day. And bingo. NOAA had numerous reports of a severe weather system charging across mid-Atlantic states. That weather system was a phenomenon known as a derecho.
I've heard people describe them as beautiful and incredibly scary.
NOAA defines a derecho as a long band of thunderstorms that cause damage in just one direction over what amounts to a straight swath. They're fairly common. NOAA even keeps a list of the 20 or so worst derechos in recent history. They have names like the Corn Belt derecho of 1998 or the People Chaser derecho of 2001. But when this one slammed into the ocean, Kincaid and fellow scientists believe it may have caused something rare, a meteo tsunami.
Yeah, a meteo tsunami, which is related to meteorological induced tsunami.
Or simply put, a weather-generated tsunami. Essentially, high-pressure winds from the derecho pressed down on the ocean, and the ocean responded with tsunami-like waves. To demonstrate this, Kincaid fills up a Tupperware container partway with water. Then he blows straight down on its surface. His breath causes a depression, and when it releases, the water level heads off as waves. Now, that same thing on a much larger scale could have happened in the mid-Atlantic. This meteo tsunami theory is a popular one that's out there. It makes scientific sense, and there's empirical data to back it up. But is it the right one? I put the question to Kincaid.
What if it was something completely else, though?
Yeah, and that's another good point, is that there's other possibilities. And so one of the possibilities is that the wind is not what produced the tsunami, but maybe what it produced was a landslide.
Kincaid says that tsunamis can also occur after underwater landslides or slumps. And the head of NOAA's tsunami program, Mike Angove, says it's investigating the possibility of this happening in the Hudson Canyon off the New Jersey coast. NOAA has a buoy in deep waters in that location. Angove says it recorded a significant change in ocean level, which seems to indicate a slump.
If it was a weather-induced tsunami, you wouldn't necessarily expect for it to register at that dart buoy, which is located in very deep waters.
NOAA dispatched its research vessel, Okeanos Explorer, to the area. Okeanos gained notoriety searching for shipwrecks in the Aegean and Black Seas, and it used multi-beam sonar to take detailed images of the Hudson Canyon. NOAA will compare those images with ones taken the previous year to look for any changes, but Angove says he's unsure if they'll find anything. He says the area is basically mud, making it difficult to spot slumps. And if nothing is found, then they'll have to go back to the possibility of the meteo tsunami. He adds that no definitive answer will be made until scientists can model it.
That's always the difficulty, is you need to be able to model this in a way that the waves represent what actually happened.
Angove says he hopes the studies will happen, as it's important for coastal communities to prepare for such events. But for North Kingstown Harbor Master Ed Hughes, he isn't so sure scientists will ever find out what caused the water to rise and fall at Wickford Harbor.
I'm willing to bet you the bottom line is going to be, we think this is what it was. You'll never get an answer for this one. I don't think you'll ever get an answer. And that makes it way cool.
Hughes says the unanswered questions are what make this whole story ocean. He says it's just another little secret the Deep Blue is keeping. adding, as H.P. Lovecraft would say, to its wonderful lore. Bradley Campbell, Rhode Island Public Radio.